taking delight in the Lord, keeping Sabbath and labor in the rhythm of life. Today, I want us to celebrate the Sabbath. In order for us to celebrate the Sabbath, we must be persuaded of the continuing validity of the fourth commandment. We live in a world where many people simply treat all the days as the same. They're all days to do our pleasure. God says, you can do whatever you want to do 6 days, but I want to challenge you today to consider the claim of God on the Sabbath day and to consider the role of the Sabbath day in your physical, in your psychological, and in your spiritual health. The first three commandments are prohibitions. That is, they are stated negatively. And there are many things a disciple of Jesus will not do and ought not do. Part of being holy is saying no to certain things. But today, God unfolds a positive plan for regular rest and communion with His people throughout the ages. That is, your Creator and Redeemer, and we're going to talk about both aspects of God's character today, stakes ownership of one day in your week so that you might turn away from your work and reconnect with Him. This is no burden to a believer, but it does require godly habits of work and the disciplines of scheduling. Today I want to call you to honor your God by working hard 6 days, then resting hard to delight in the Lord and grow in your knowledge of His purposes. I want to just flesh out that last sentence a little bit. Next week we're going to talk about honor your father and mother. But what I also want you to consider is that if the fifth commandment is honor of father and mother, the fourth commandment is honor of God. The fourth commandment and the fifth commandment are both stated positively. They're the only ones of the commandments. At the very heart of the Ten Commandments are two positive commands that God gives to us. But notice that the fourth commandment doesn't start out by saying, don't work, and it doesn't provide a long list of do's and don'ts. I've come to very much respect the author of a book that our children love, that we've read as a family. I love this book in most of its dimensions, but probably one of the things I like least about it is a view of Sunday. Referring to Laura Ingalls Wilder, if you've read the book Farmer Boy, we actually had a chance as a family to visit the location way up on the Canadian border in northern New York where Almanzo Wilder grew up. We got to actually sit in the parlor. Remember where they threw the black the stove polish up against the wall? We got to sit right in that room. I got to lay down in Almanzo's bed. We got to stand in the kitchen. Listen to the way Laura Ingalls reflects on this chapter is entitled Sunday. Oh, mercy, 8 o'clock, I must fly. Mother always flew. Her feet went pattering. Her hands moved so fast you could hardly watch them. She never sat down. But on Sunday morning, she made everybody else hurry too. Father curried and brushed the sleek brown driving horses. Mother was in the pantry, setting the top crust on the Sunday chicken pie. I'm going to skip over quite a section here. Because then Almanzo describes how they go to church. Once they got to church, there was nothing to do but sit still till the sermon was over. It was 2 hours long. Almanzo's legs ached and his jaw wanted to yawn, but he dared not yawn or fidget. He must sit perfectly still and never take his eyes from the preacher's solemn face and wagging beard. Almanzo couldn't understand how Father knew that he wasn't looking at the preacher, if Father was looking at the preacher himself, but Father always did know. After Sunday dinner, Eliza Jane and Alice did the dishes, but Father and Mother and Royal and Almanzo did nothing at all. The whole afternoon they sat in the drowsy, warm dining room. We stood in that dining room. Mother read the Bible. Eliza Jane read a book. Father's head nodded till he woke with a jerk and then began to nod again. Royal fingered the wooden chain that he could not whittle, and Alice looked for a long time out of the window. But Almanzo just sat. He had to. He was not allowed to do anything else, for Sunday was not a day for working. It was a day for going to church and sitting still. Friends, if this is your view of the fourth commandment, you are of all people most to be pitied. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It is the Sabbath day, a day of rest and celebration of the resurrection of the Christ, of the creation of the world, of the hope that we have of eternal life in heaven. Do you view the Sabbath as a delight? Do you find delight in your God? Today I feel like I need to step back and kind of go through some basics, because I find as I interact with people that many people are simply not persuaded that the Sabbath, the first day Sabbath, is God's plan in the new covenant. They view the Sabbath day in the same category that we would view the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Trumpets or the Passover. We need to be clear, why is it that we believe the Sabbath is for us? So point number one today, very simple. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance. That is, Moses didn't invent the Sabbath day. Moses did not say, okay, now all you people, I'm going to give you a brand new plan. We're going to divide the week up into 7 days, and every seventh day, then you have to come to church. That's not the way it worked. Rather, notice the joy, I almost imagine it as giddiness, as Moses records for us that God is the one who worked his tail off for 6 days, and then he rested. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. First of all, we need to realize that we imitate God and Christ in keeping Sabbath. All of us are running hard. We live in a complex world. There are many things that we need to put our hand to. There are 6 days in which to do it. We ought to work hard. But friends, we always ought to do our work in anticipation of the day when it will no longer be hard, when it will no longer be frustrating. We need to see that the Sabbath is, in fact, God's established plan for us. Yes, it is true that in the new covenant, the Sabbath is changed from the first day, from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. But we need to see that God kept Sabbath, that Christ, who is our model of behavior and example, that he kept Sabbath. And the reason for this, point two, is because Sabbath is a creation category. Exodus 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth." This is not simply something that was occurring in the life of the people of Israel. This is something that went clear back to the beginning. And so work is a creation ordinance. Marriage is a creation ordinance. And Sabbath is a creation ordinance. That's why we're called to remember. Do you remember the Sabbath day? Does your concept of time revolve around God and His plan and purposes for the world. Exodus 20 teaches us to root our view of the Sabbath day in the created, in the creation of God at the very, very beginning. But the Sabbath is not only a creation ordinance, it is also, there in the first, the title there, a pointer to redemption. The Sabbath is a creation ordinance and a pointer to redemption. We don't usually refer to Deuteronomy 5 as much. It's very instructive. If you want to turn there very briefly, I simply want to point out that that there is some difference when it comes to the fourth commandment between Exodus and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the Ten Commandments. And so the fourth commandment says this: observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Here I want you to notice the rationale changes in the second giving of the law. That is, the law of God is not to be thought of merely in structural terms. We need to see that the law of God is a living and dynamic thing that's given progressively. And so the first giving of the Ten Commandments roots the Sabbath day in creation. But the second giving of the Ten Commandments roots the Sabbath day in redemption. And here we see, here we begin to understand that the Sabbath, while it is always to be one day dedicated to God, is nonetheless serving various functions. It's serving to point us back to creation. It's serving to point the people of Israel back to the Exodus. And so they are called to practice the Sabbath. Point number four, I've tried to put myself this week in the shoes of the people who were the original recipients of the book of Deuteronomy. Here it says, The Lord brought you out of Egypt. You were slaves in Egypt, and God brought you out by His mighty right hand. And the people say, oh, yes, yes. And we long for that salvation that was begun in the Exodus to come to fruition as we enter the promised land. We want to enter into the rest that you have promised. And yet, the people were waiting to enter the land of promise. They were poised there on the east side of the Jordan River, waiting to go into the promised land. They had been waiting for 40 years. Guess what? We are waiting as well. We are waiting to enter, not into a physical location, but we are waiting to enter the promised land that God has given to us, the thing which the Holy Land represented. The land of promise on earth was a reflection of the true land of promise waiting for us in heaven. And that is the second point this morning, that the Sabbath is a pointer toward heaven. And here you have to go and consider, and I would really encourage you to spend some time meditating on Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. If you really want to do business with the scriptural vision of the Sabbath day, you have got to understand Hebrews 3 and 4. And there's a few things that I'd like to simply highlight here. First of all, the writer's logic is important. That is, he's moving through an argument. He does exactly what we're doing here in that he roots the Sabbath day in creation. He points out that Joshua only led the people into a partial rest. Joshua's rest is only a partial fulfillment. That is, he's viewing the Exodus not only in physical terms, but also in spiritual terms. That the same way that those people back there then were brought out of Egypt, so we have been brought out of sin. And the way those people live for 40 years between what they once were and what they someday will be, so we live in between when we were dead in trespasses and sins and when we enter into the fullness of God's promise. The writer's logic is important. But notice what he says in chapter 4 and verse 9. No equivocation. Verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And I do not believe he's speaking merely about heaven. I think rather what he's saying is, friends, there is an eternal rest that Mr. Duguid has now entered into his eternal rest. And we can celebrate that. Because there yet remains a rest for the people of God, the fourth commandment is still fully in force. It's not as though the fourth commandment gets discarded somewhere along the way. I simply cannot see the logic for how it is that you, we have all the other nine commandments, but the fourth commandment, well, that's too much of a problem. And so instead of doing God's pleasure on His day, the Sabbath day becomes just another Saturday. Another day to do our own pleasure. Do you see here? And what I don't want to do today is I don't want to use the law of God as a baseball bat. What I want us to do together is to look intently into the law of God which gives liberty. Friends, true liberty comes in heaven. And God's plan in giving us the Sabbath day is that we do not drift away. I've been a pastor long enough now to see. I can sometimes almost predict it. All of a sudden, that place where that person has so faithfully worshiped God is empty. And that person misses one or two Sundays, and then misses three or four Sundays, and they drift away. Because they're not coming to be with God's people, to have the fellowship of the body, to hear the Word of God proclaimed. They are absenting themselves from the means of grace at the peril of their own soul. So today I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us. Let us labor to enter into that rest. Because that's also what Hebrews 4 says. It challenges us. Strive to enter that rest. So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. God's plan is for us to work 6 days. I used to call the fourth commandment the Sabbath commandment. But more and more as I find myself, especially with younger people, I'm referring to the fourth commandment as the labor commandment. Figure out how to six days, do hard work. Don't be a couch potato. Go out there and serve the Lord. Serve your neighbor. If you don't have a job, go rake the leaves for your next door neighbor. Go shovel the snow. They might even pay you a little bit. But serve the Lord hard. Physical labor for 6 days. And guess what? When you work hard, you're ready to rest hard. Let us labor. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. This is the rhythm of the Christian life. As we go out into the world to try hard to make a difference, and then we gather together to be refreshed and encouraged. And finally, fourthly, let us hold fast to our confession. The point of Hebrews 3 and 4, when you look at it as a whole, is don't fall away. Don't drift away from the Christ who is the source of your salvation. One of the verses that causes me to tremble. If we say we love God and we walk in darkness, we're a liar. If we say that Jesus is Lord, but Lord, you don't have a right to my time. Do you see the logic here? What I don't want to do is I don't want the church to walk around. I remember hearing the story of a man whose job was to walk around the aisles in church and he had a big long stick. And his job was to watch and see if you were falling asleep. And if you fell asleep, he would bonk you on the head. Okay, that's called using the law of God as a baseball bat, literally. That's not the point. The point of God's law is to lead us into life. And that life isn't simply a momentary experience in this world. Oh, hey, I'm a Christian now. But rather it's to look forward to the time when we can finally rest. When we will live in a new heavens and new earth, and there will be no thorns or thistles. When there will not be the frustrations of trying to rear children who are sinners. When we will enter into the fullness of God's rest. How do we do that? By holding fast to our confession. And friends, we need time. We need time to study under Elder McFarland's guidance in the book of Mark. Some of you haven't been there in a long time because you're doing your pleasure on your holy day. We ought to do God's pleasure on His holy day. The Sabbath day is for God. We begin it and we end it in worship. That's clearly the example in Scripture. And so finally and thirdly here, I'd like to challenge you today to consider the Sabbath and the practice of Sabbath keeping as a barometer. First of all, it's a barometer of your understanding. Isaiah 58 is so instructive here. These verses, I would encourage you, if you've never memorized them, take some time and try and have these words in your heart. I want to read them again. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from trampling the Sabbath and from doing your pleasure on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. That is, friends, we need to see that the Sabbath is not an end in itself. The whole purpose of the Lord's day is the Lord. It's in Him that we find our delight. It's in Him that we find our very meaning and purpose for existence. Some of us, some of those that we know, struggle. Does my life really have a purpose? Yes. And one of those purposes is to worship God. In fact, that's at the core of who we are. Man's chief end is to glorify God. That's the obedience part. I like the second part. And to enjoy Him forever. The Sabbath day is a day of enjoying God. How do we enjoy God? Well, we're with His people. And my kids get candy from Mr. Copeland. And we go home and we eat large amounts of food. Does your family feast on the Sabbath day? That's a good thing to do. God leads us into the fullness of living for Him, of walking in His ways. So, very simply, the Sabbath is a barometer. One of your understanding. Do you believe that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance? Number two, of your physical health. I've seen this in my own life, that when I do not rest one day in seven, my physical health suffers. Your understanding, your physical health, your vitality. I've made this a different one because God's plan is for us to flourish. God's plan is for us to expand, to become more than we are right now. The Sabbath day is not a day of saying no. The Sabbath day is a day of saying yes, of delighting in God. One of the reasons, and I want to be sure and reference this today, I've given you if I can find mine here, this brochure that has been tremendously helpful to me in understanding the Reformed understand the Reformed view of the Sabbath. And notice that there's at least six reasons that we believe the Sabbath is of enduring application, that the Sabbath day is God's day. And we ought to think and consider this carefully. But notice one of the reasons that I like this is it does not come up with a Pharisaical list of what you ought and ought not to do on the Sabbath day. This is something I know your elders talked very carefully about and thought very hard about with regard to the question of the use of the Family Life Center. We need to be very wise as a body that we're not doing what the Pharisees did in creating a long list of what we ought not to do. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see one whole wall of our church filled with different ways that you can use the Sabbath day for the glory of God. What are the things? Remember, this is a positive commandment. Remember, keep it holy. Rest. Enjoy. Feast. Worship. Sleep. I love RP naps. They are glorifying to God because the man was not made for the Sabbath, but what? The Sabbath for man. Friends, because our God, because our Father loves us, He's given us a day to come apart from the craziness of our everyday lives to rest and find our strength in Him. And finally, your spirituality. I find that there are many whose souls are simply malnourished because they're not taking the time to read large passages of Scripture. When was the last time you read one whole book of the Bible in one setting? Or to read Christian books? I've been blessed the last several weeks in our Sunday school class. Daryl has quoted from John Brown. I think it's of Priest Hill. Anyway, okay, Haddington, thank you. And also from Martin Lloyd-Jones, big fat books on the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments. And I've been blessed, and one of the things I've been pondering, wow, I think I'd like to read that book. That would be something very profitable for me in my own spiritual life. Do you find that your soul is fat? Do you find that your soul is vital? Do you find that your soul is alive and filled with joy? Or is your soul a shadow of what it could be? God's plan is for us to eat three square meals a day and to feed our souls one day out of the week. This is the command of our God. So take delight, rest, and labor in the rhythm of life for the glory of your God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words of yours from your holy book. Lord, we thank you that you are our God. And Lord, not only are we bound to keep your commandments, we want to keep them. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of your book. As Lord, you don't go after the mere externals of Sabbath keeping. But Lord, today we pray that you would pursue our hearts and give us that sense of loyalty to you, because we want to do your will, not to get you to love us, but because you've loved us. Lord, we want to please you, both individually and collectively as a body. We pray that you would help us in our speech and in the very ways that we think about the Sabbath day, to call the Sabbath day a delight, holy to the Lord, honorable. Lord, we pray you would help us as we look at our lives in the light of your word. Show us what you would have us to do, O God, living out this fourth commandment. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.